Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you this day. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can gather, Lord, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as well we are gathered here, O Lord, or in different homes and different places, may your Spirit, O Lord, sit over every one of us, Lord. Sit over us, Father, and teach us, Lord, your ways. Teach us your word, Lord, how that we may walk fully, O Lord, according to that which you have commanded us to do. Even as Christ Jesus, Lord, in full obedience, Father, fulfill your word. So, Lord, we pray that as we look into thy word, let your word, Father, be the joy of our life. For truly, Lord, the word that was made flesh, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, our friend, our master, all that he is to us, O Father, blessed be his holy name. Lord, we pray, now you open it to us, Father, your word, and fulfill it, O Lord, in our life. For this, Lord, I ask in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Alright, go to Philippians and we will just go through what we have finished last week a little and continue and try to finish up to verse 7 of the next chapter. Now, in verse 14 of chapter 3, let me just read through all the background. I press to work the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be task-minded. And if anything be it, anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now, as I said, Paul had such a great relationship with his Philippians, Philippian believers, that his relationship with them was so different from the other churches because of the way he wrote here. And his emphasis about joy. And one of the things about joy is he's trying to get the people to be in unity, to be of one mind. And in this passage here, there are three times that he used the word let us. Let us, therefore, in verse 16. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, that means as we are matured, let us be task-minded. In verse 16, again in you have two times he said here, nevertheless, until we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing, let us be task-minded in verse 16, right? Let us be task-minded. Let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. The importance of being one. The maturity that we have, we should therefore be task-minded. Now, we read last week, Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, remember I said that The word heart should not be in that verse. As a man thinketh, and I ask the question, what, when you think, where is your thinking? And Adam said, of course, it's in the head. But now, we realize one thing when we talk about as a man thinketh. We realize that the Bible presents in such a way and make us to understand. Going back to Genesis, when the serpent came to Eve to tempt her, have God said, now we know, of course, and we think it is always up here in our head, we listen with our ears, we see with our eyes, smell and touch, all this, the senses goes to the brain, and that's where the mind we start to try to make sense of all this information. So of course, that's the first place where we always think it's the mind, it's up here in the head. And that is true in a sense. But when we think about what we think with our mind up here, the Bible is trying to say that it is carnal, trying to make you to see that it is carnal. If you think or try to decipher information up here in the mind, in the way, in the general, then it will be a fleshy kind of being. But once we are born again, the Bible tells us this. God said that He will no longer write His word on tablets of stones. Right? But He will write it in our heart. What did He not say that He's writing in our mind or some other place? But what did He say? Write in our heart. Now, we understand that when the Bible talks about the heart, when the Bible talks about the mind, talks about, you know, the flesh or carnality, that there is a separation. Because all, when we talk as a Christian, when we think with our heart, rather than we say that we think with our mind. See? So, well, take the example of the Red Indian Chief that Brother Bram talks about. When he became a Christian, he had this problem, the black dog and the white dog. And he told Brother Bram, it's up here. It's a white dog, black dog, they're fighting. And obviously, if you are not a Christian, what do you do? Everything in this world is just fleshy and carnal, right? It's all about the body. It's all about the senses. You eat, you like the food, you taste it, oh, this sashimi is good, the wagyu beef is good, this and that. It's a sense, you want to satisfy this flesh. Huh? To have the five senses, feel it, your touch, what you see, what you hear. You want to satisfy this flesh. Huh? And the Bible says, he that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God said. To the church, to you and me. So what is, when God is speaking to us, it's not dealing with this flesh. He's dealing with your spirit. He's dealing with your soul. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the world. No! And I said many times that this Bible is not a book for the sinner. God did not write this book for sinners. A lot of people say, how can it be? This book is written for God's people. You will not love this book if you are a sinner. But you came to the gospel when you first heard about the gospel. And when you hear about the gospel, it is about one person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You reckon when you hear the gospel in the right way, if it is presented to you and you heard it right, that to realize that you are a sinner, what is the purpose of being born? Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, I mean, out there in the world, you just look at the news, look at what's going on in the world. And people just don't care practically about this life after. Because they say that many believe that they live and they die just like all animals. That's it. And some believe that it's a life cycle, you know, just like you plant a seed and you birth for the plant and the tree, they bring for more fruits and the seeds is there in the fruit and you drop down and there's another cycle. So life is a cycle. And that's it. That's what they believe. But the moment we who are called of God and we say this, that we never seek after God. No one seeks after God. It is God that seeks after man. It is because he said, but again, there was a thirst in me going after. Yeah, because there must be something that God give it to you, a little seed that is sold that you heard. You know. Somebody posts a question, somebody says something, then you sit and wonder. And then you are drawn. And then you hear you heard the gospel. So when you heard the gospel and you embrace the gospel, then this book is a treasure. This book is written for you and me. Who you are, where you come from, where you are going, and your purpose in life. Huh? The Bible is so beautifully written in every place that you cannot say, this book is not for me. It is written for God's people. So when we have the Word of God in our heart, that's not where we think. We don't think with our ear. As a Christian, we think with our heart. Because the Word of God is in our heart. So you see, the Indian chief had a problem. He's still not yet fully baptized by the Holy Ghost. He has not been baptized by the Holy Ghost, I would say. He believed in Jesus. And you know, people believe in the gospel, they believe unto salvation. That's why it's important to say this. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, you know, there's a pause. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Some people say, but these people in Thessalonica, they did not hear the gospel of Jesus. They heard the gospel of John. Or it may be true. So if you go to a church down the road there in this denomination, that denomination, and you call yourself Baptist, Methodist, whatever, the question is, are you born again? Are you born again? Now it's very sad. I don't know how many of you know on the YouTube there, you know, YouTube there is a lot of Christian channel, huh? And there's one that is well known. It's an elderly, I think he's Indian or some Middle Eastern race, Ravi Zakaria. Y'all know him? No. Now he is very well known. He presented the gospel very well in many big churches and all this. He passed away a few years back. And finally, his ministry and the people that involved them admitted that he had committed a lot of sexual affair. It's sad, isn't it? You know. So the question is this, that's why I said this. Now, I believe in this. Whether you are a Christian or you are not a Christian, don't take and blame your sexual problem as it is being ingrained in you. You're born with it. I can't help it. I'm a pedophile. Really? As I said, I can't help it. And all the people, you know, in the news, yeah, they take what they call it, they take the cell phone and take a picture under the skirt of a woman. I can't help it. I'm born with it. What do you mean by you're born with it? You see, some people are blame it on this nature. I can't help it because I don't like women, I like men. So I married a man. So you're lesbianism out there in the world, and there you have this what is called men's sex, what do you call that? Homosexualism. Huh?
And
well, you all kinds of things open.
So you want to blame it on nature? Yeah, what blame on nature is that, okay, a twin born out, a Siamese twin, you can blame on nature because there's something happened during the fusion of the two cells. Something went on because there's a genetic problem, because as we know that human beings are corrupt already in the body, in the gene, many times. Because of the food that we eat, the chemical we eat, the thalidomide baby, for example. That orange, yellow, or orange agent that was poured out in Indochina during the war and over in South Africa somewhere. And children and people are born out blind. It is because of the chemical. You know. So you want to blame it on God? God has given man a certain number of years, 6,000 years or so, and let man do what they want. But he will call it to a halt one day. But for us Christians, we have hope in Christ, and the joy of it is in the Word, and that's why this Bible is not written for the sinner, it's written for you. That you have the joy and the hope in God, in Christ Jesus. So that's how we think, you know, with our heart. That's why here in verse 16 of 15, be task minded. Let us therefore be task minded. If we all, you know, are one together, you know, we are in a fellowship, we are Christian, we are people, let us be task minded. So that's what we want to believe in. Let us walk together by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Amen. Kind of hard for us, many people, to mind the same thing. Right. Okay, now, what was that, how many days ago? Was it several days ago? There was this paper report, or news report about, oh, sir, this 16, was it 16-year-old boy? Christian. He's a conservative Christian. So radicalized, I don't know by what he sees on the YouTube or on the internet, until that he wanted to go and, well, you know, kill some Muslim. What do you want to do that? What, something is wrong here. Yeah. Now, the thing is this, it's the church responsibility, the parent responsibility, and the church responsibility. The church responsibility is to teach and make sure that people are taught right. The parent responsibility is at home to watch over them and raise them right. Watch what they are doing. The door is closed and the child is in the room. Parent don't even not allowed to go in. There's no such thing. That is what happened in America many times. Children go into the room, parent not allowed to go in. The door is locked. When the parents say, well, what are you doing? He said, my own business, mom! Leaving me to me, I'm doing my work. So this sort of thing is not right. The parents have the right to know what the children are doing, and if you don't raise them up, and that's what. So this one, this four secondary four student, 16 years old, he's radicalized. He was radicalized, but how is it that he hated the Muslim people? How is it that he hate the religion of Islam? What caused him to behave like that? And one day I'm so happy that, you know what, I always said I'm blessed to be born in Singapore. We wouldn't allow all this madness if you're a member, first amendment, second amendment, and third amendment like you have in America, to do all the crazy thing you do now. That's why we have socialism. Socialism, but again, that's communism. You know, people have this American, the brothers, they talk to me, think that socialism is communism. We have a responsibility to society. When we see the poor or those who are handicapped that don't help, we try to help them. We don't abandon them. So, here in Singapore, we have harmony. We can sit with the Muslim. They have their faith. I have my faith. We can say hello, we can talk. We don't damn each other. Whether Buddhist, Confucianist, or Taoist, and all their religion. Is that right? But how is it that this boy, because he was not watched, and I don't know how often he goes to church and be taught. The Bible says, pure religion is this, that you visit the fatherless. Remember what Peter said? Yeah. The poor, the have not. That's pure religion. And we live in harmony with respect to each other. So, is this become something that is racial? Because my skin is different from the others? Or because my faith is different from the others, that I don't like them? Or is it about religion? Or is it hatred? Or you can ask, is this young man full of hate? Or if he is hate, but why is it because of the religion of the others? Well, in America you have the white supremacy, and well, it goes back into history. You have even in Germany Nazism. So we have all kinds. But here, when we talk about the mind, we have our faith. We have our hope. And we believe. Yes, we believe. What we believe according to the Bible. Outside of Christ, there is no salvation. Right? And I say this many times. Don't damn the other people. Don't damn those who don't see what you see. In the day of Jesus Christ, the Pharisees were there. They accused him. But Jesus never damned them. They come against him a time again. And many times he just called them, "You're hypocrites." Huh? It's a war unto you. You proselyte people overseas, locally, with all your false doctrine. Now he's dealing with what? He's dealing with the same faith of people. Now, we can talk about the Bible, different groups of Christian people who hold to the Bible. We can discuss and debate, argue. But outside of this framework, you don't go to bring in other religion and damn them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, Jesus Christ did not damn those who are not in Judaism. It is a religious group that come against the Pharisees. You see, they all hold to the same Bible. And they came against Christ. Alright, so, verse 16, let us. Paul said three times. Remember this, I said last week, I shall conclude, that it's a church divided. If a church divided, something is very wrong. And that shouldn't be the case. Verse 18 to 19. Let us continue reading that. Verse 17. Brethren, be followed together of me and mark them which walk so as you have asked for example. Mark them which walk so as you have asked for example. Now Paul is calling names later on, as here you can see. He called him not to, you know, speak back about them, but called him to make a fact that they are wrong, they have done wrong against the word of God. He don't call name as to people who are of other religion. No, that's nothing to do with it. You see? So the enemy is within. Correct? Now I remember there was this novel that I think they were spreading the movie in America. Enemy within, enemy something. And when And yes, in America, you see today, the enemy is in the nation. And the Bible and James tell us the same thing. If there's anything that happens as an enemy, it's come up from the church. In the book of James. So you see, any problem at the start is always from within the church.
friends.
Like we had this fellowship for so many years. There are those that came from outside, from the other fellowship, come here for a few years, then after they left and they spread all the arrows and then some of the brother and sister in the fellowship, they will call on the telephone and tell them, you know, what again is wrong, this and then, and keep them in trouble and they get confused. For many walk, of whom I have told you are often. Huh, that's no good. Or is, or should I have done that? Okay, what do you say here? For many walk, of whom I have told you often, I have told you many times. Some people say, Brother, what are you talking about? Other people so often, other minister, this, what they do, this. That's, you know what Paul did, you see? I told you often about, told you often about these certain people that walk not according to the word. And now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Here in Singapore, how many have come against my ministry? Speak evil of it. Over there in Africa too, burn my gospel. And even Brother Pierre was so sad because there was a sister, her name was Lila. Her name is Lila. She's from Morocco. She accepted the message several years ago, was very happy, reading and studying, and then some pandemic spirit, she don't know how, she was influenced anyway, they influenced her. They only say what Brother Branham said. And the books are burned again, throw it away, burn it away, whatever. It's all false. And she is not a pastor of a group out there in Morocco. What is happening? You see, it is important for Paul to warn the church in Philippi about certain people. And it is true that the ministry that stands for the word of God have to warn the church about certain characters. And I have warned many times, not only in the fellowship, but to some brothers and sisters in the past many years about certain characters. And they were so confused because of what they were doing that those characters did to them and confused them. The only thing is keep away. If you don't want to be confused, to keep away. For example, now with all this news going on about the COVID and all, if you don't know how to deal with it, don't hear it. Don't go and look into an internet and find out all this and then you get all confused. But I need to have information. Okay, you need the information, then be wise and don't get confused. But today, of course, how do you get all this news? All this news that coming, how do you decide that? Oh my. When you talk about saying what the prophet said, and you, when I tell the people, like I told you last week, or some time before, those Branham might come to me, oh Brother God, we don't need to know where the Garden of Eden is. We don't need to know about the sin of Ham. We don't need to know about this because it doesn't affect our redemption. And they are telling people, it's not necessary. Then I told them the same thing. I said, well, you see, it's not necessary. Then it's not necessary for me to know Malachi 4, 5, and 6. It's not necessary to know about the seven church ages. It's not necessary for me to know about the tribulation. I don't have to study that. What happened to God? It doesn't affect my salvation. You see, the thing is, it is that we have all this confusion because people who are in the truth, many of us, or many of them, I would say, are not wise. Where is wisdom from? Wisdom comes from the Word of God.
If you want to decipher truth from error, you have to know the Word of God. Isn't it so? To say what Brother Abraham said, and this is, don't listen to any brother, something is wrong. Now let's go, you remember 1 Kings 13 I told you about last week? About the men of God who were told by God to go to deliver a message to the king there, and then after that, come straight back, don't stay there, don't eat that, right? He had the directive from God. But here came a prophet, an old prophet. The Bible emphasizes an old prophet means he must have many years of experience on his own. When he had the old prophet told him, you know, yeah, come to my home, and I have something here. A young prophet said, the young man of God, or he is a prophet, there's a difference between the two. No, you know, I have to go, but the Lord told me not to eat here. And the old prophet said, yeah, you know, I'm a man of God too, I'm a prophet, you know, God told me you can come eat with me. So the man of God believed the old prophet. Because he, as I said this before, we respect the elder people. The older one, he must be of more experience. And so what happened? He paid with his life. Now, there must be a conspiracy theory. Now, today we have all this problem about the COVID and the vaccine thing, right, going on. And then you got all this information coming out, some people say, that's conspiracy theory. And it was in an article in a paper last month, I think there was somebody wrote it, a journalist wrote it. He said, hey, not all conspiracy theory are fake, are not true. They've been proven in the past that some of the conspiracy turned out to be true. So, you know, go back to the day of Genesis in chapter 6. Here the Lord said, my spirit is no longer striving man. Noah, you're the only one, the righteous. I want you to build an ark. Because I'm going to send rain and destroy the whole earth. Okay, so after that, he started to collect the wood and whatever to build with the sun. And then neighbors are watching. So what is this guy doing? With so many rocks, so many trees he cut down. And then they approach him and say, oh man, what are you doing? Oh, God is going to judge the world. Stop preaching. He's going to send the rain and destroy this earth. What? So send rain? What is rain? Rain is water, droplets coming down from the sky. Oh, that must be. That cannot be true because this never happened. And then news went around and here and there, some now whisper that that is a conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory. That there's going to be a judgment. Now we believe Jesus is coming back. He's going to judge the world. And after many people, now that you're Christian people, you believe in that. That's conspiracy theory, man. That's not going to happen. When Jesus came, and he preached the gospel. John came before him, preached the gospel. And some of these religious people were thinking, it can't be true, this is a conspiracy theory to try to take over our faith. Now anything can go on in the mind and believe in this and believe in that. That is true, isn't it? Well, let's continue. Remember, as I said, is Paul speak the truth in love. Okay, verse 80. For many walk of whom I told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Because there are a lot of people are not sincere. Okay? They're not sincere, they are self-indulgent. Self-indulging. Huh? Yeah, just like this Peter Wong. Want to make himself somebody. So they come up with all that article he wrote about me and Brown Eyes, and here they were the one over in Ghana. Like and preach in front of the people.
I just cannot understand, brother, sister, if you tell me if I've done something wrong, if I said something contrary or wrong, and you tell me that is what it is that you have done. I say, okay, I'm sorry. I will correct myself. Because if you believe God, and you are sincere before God, and the word of God is your joy, then how can you hope and believe in something and you continue to in your life and in your insincerity, indulging in yourself? Something is very wrong. That's why Paul said, I look into the word of God. You know, it's a mirror. When you look into the mirror of God's word, what do you see? You see other people? This one is bad, that one is bad. You look into the mirror of God's word, is that you're looking at yourself. As Paul said, I die every day. For the gospel's sake. And that's why you watch. It's not easy, right? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Verse 19. Whose end is destruction, obviously. And people think, oh, you know, I believe Christ, I believe. A lot of people take grace and make it a disgrace. Terrible. Whose God is their belly? Yeah, they said the God is their Yahweh, but that's not. It's the belly. You know what the word belly means? Their flesh itself. Anything that satisfies them. The belly is always used because, you know, what? Every time we're hungry, we eat, we find what food, this and that. What to eat. Huh? That is true. Especially with the COVID-19 here and around the world, many people have put on weight. Have you all checked yourself lately? See where you put on weight? I checked myself, I found that I put on 1.2 kilos. For me, it's okay to put on a little weight. Huh? Because you know, you work and you go out there and buy something to eat. You know, and so I put back what I lost some few years back. I weigh 62 kilos. That's what I used to weigh. I lost it and I went down to 61 and even below 61. But now I weigh, I found myself, oh, 62.2, 62.5, something like that. Oh, fine, I'm glad. So, to many of these, the God is their belly. All the time, they want to satisfy their flesh. And whose glory is in their own, is their shame. Who think they glorify. And I don't know how. And then the people like this Peter and the other one over there, you know, in Ghana. And what do you gain? Huh? You go in yourself, you think that you're right, you refuse to admit. I don't mention someone named Minister that I respect. You know, minister that I know very well. And publicly accuse me, say something was wrong, and remind him over and over, he didn't. That's sad. Well, what I know it is very true. Human beings find very hard to say I'm sorry. The word I am sorry is very hard to come out from the mouth of many people. Oh my. So if you don't want to say the word I am sorry, then in the first place, don't do what you are doing. That's true. Now look at Peter in the Bible. I mean, you know, he was hot-headed, you know. He did what he did. Denying Christ, knowing he died. Played a hypocrite. Huh? Hey, he's the first apostle to deliver the message of the gospel. Huh? But yet, when Paul rebuked him,
And he remained silent.
Of course, the Bible did not say that. Peter said, I'm sorry, of course. But we know that Peter realized what's wrong. He came to realize in his own epistle later, he wrote about what Paul's revelation was like. You know. Who my
earthly things, and that is so true.
Who my earthly things. Some people, you know, just like people building, there are a lot of churches around the world, especially in that message. Everybody wanted to be a minister. I say this to be true. When I came to the message in the 1970s, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe what I saw. People, young men, came to the message 1 year, or think that he knows a lot about the message, about the Word of God, and want to share. Or they come up from Brigham. Brother said this, Brother Brigham said that. When they share the message, Brother Brigham said, do you know God sent a prophet? Brother Brigham, he said this, he said that. Why is the scripture? They want to have, like many of them, want a piece of the pie. The pie of what? Earthly glory. Now, I did this for Christ, I did that. And don't they know what Matthew chapter 7 said? Jesus said, many will come to me in the last day. Lord, I've done this for you. Lord, I've done that for you. Jesus Christ said, depart from me, I never knew you. You are workers of iniquity. And a lot of these preachers don't realize it. Now, I say this, God say what he means. And mean what he says. Is that right? Am I saying it correct? True. You said it, mean it that way. And yet, it is preacher doesn't realize. They go out there and preach what they think they know when they are not called of God. Yes. There are many that have already backslid. Many of the preacher rejected the message that they have for many years they've been preaching. What happened? It means they didn't hear right in the first place. It's important to hear it correctly the first time, and you know that it is true, you won't be wrong. But you didn't hear it right, that's a problem. And that's why I came into that testing back in 71, 72, 73. 2 years of listening to all that about Branham said, Branham said, Branham said this, Branham said that. Say what the prophet said, until I thought, wow, these people know because they are the old people in the message. They were with Brother Branham, so they know. And now I was almost deceiving to it. But God gave me a test as I said this, and in 5 minutes, God opened my eyes and I weep. And I said, oh, how foolish I am. I know the joy of the Lord is the word of God, that the truth, that the wisdom is. The second scripture is inspired, not the words of Brother Branham. In breath of God is a second scripture. Brother Branham's words are not in breath. You can say the message are inspired. True. People are inspired to preach. But not every word that come out of it are said to be inspired. You see? So when I return back, I get out of Baptism, come back to the Word of God. The Bible became a new Bible, more to me, because it became a joy to me to realize that William Branham is just a man. Next verse, verse 30. For our conversation is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. The word conversation in the Bible always means your life, the life you live. Our life is in heaven. What do they say? Heavenly citizenship. For our life, or we say that, we say this. I have a citizenship, we all have a citizenship, which is a heavenly citizenship. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 1 verse 7 to 10. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, whom the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel, in flaming fire, taking vengeance of them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Yep, Christ is coming to be glorified in his saints. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7 to 10. There's some verse 23 over in Philippians chapter 3 says, verse 21, who will change our vile body, it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. When Christ comes, yeah, we'll be glorified. And Christ will glorify in us. Ephesians 1. And verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Right? In heavenly places in Christ. We are already sitting in heavenly places. And that's the reason why we don't think with our mind. We think with our heart. We go out there, walking out there in the streets, in the office, wherever we go. Our five senses are absorbing all this information. Right. Sure, we need to eat. We smell, we see, we talk, we hear. But all that information, remember how to filter it. And in that, when we walk in this earth, let us remember this world is not our home. We are just merely passing through. There will always be the presence of our heart, of our Lord in our heart. Alright, let's go to chapter 4 now. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown. Ah, look at that. Look at that. That's Paul talking to this Philippian. This is the one place that he already expressed himself. My brethren, dearly beloved, long for. Ah, Paul just had this reason that he desired to have them, to make them again. My joy. You are my joy. My crown. Wow. There is something about this believer in Philippi that just give Paul this joy, you know. Because he knew that the word that he had preached had sunk deep into their heart. That he looked at them and said, you are not only my joy, you are my crown. His church in Ephesus wasn't like that. You know. But this Philippian. So, therefore, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Good advice. I beseech your dear and beseech Suntuke that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Yeah, that's Greek, huh? I don't want to read like the American read it. Nor do I want to read it like the English read it. Let us read it like the Greek. It sounds more Chinese. Suntuke. You dear. Now,
Paul is calling name here. He's calling name. Now, over in other places, he called the name of Hymenaeus, Philetus, Alexander. He is calling name again. That is terrible. Don't like Paul. I think when he wrote this to the Philippines, and it's being read there, and then those two sisters in the church said, ah, why is he calling my name? And look what Paul said about them. That they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I be entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life. And there's only one place the name Clement appears, huh? At least Clement's name is in the Bible, in the book of life. Now, you see here, the thing is this. These two women in the church there, they must have been having some friction. They are loggerheads with each other. I don't know what they were doing. What was the problem? They are not of the same mind. But they are very helpful in the church, But I think that is the same with the churches everywhere, group. Everybody want help in the church, do some work, but they all have different minds. So, a different mind, okay, but try to work together, but sometimes they come to clash with each other. No, this is the way I do. No, sister said, no, the other way. Then they start to argue, and then... you see, that's human. Alright? And Paul said, I entreat you also, your fella, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Even for our fellowship here, we have sisters that are helpful to do what needs to be helped, and I really thank God for that. It is very necessary. The need for them to know what to do, and they are put in the Lord put on them just to go ahead and do it. And so why I don't have to call you. You know, on Friday, I listened to the Friday recording. Brother Paul, Sister Nancy testified about Paul calling a brother who has not been in church for a long time. And that is important here, that's all I want to say this. You know, in the fellowship. Now, of course, in this environment, we are not together as a group. But when we are all together as a big group, when the brother or sister don't come to church for a while, I will call them on the phone and find out. And you know one thing in this instance, that some of them, well, they're honest enough to tell me what's the problem. And they don't want to talk about it. There are others that, okay. And I'm busy for it, or whatever I want, and don't want to talk. You know, so in my heart, I realize one thing, that this is the one that some of you brothers and sisters should have concern for the others. And don't say, oh, this is Brother Gunn's job. Yes, my job, I call them, and they don't want to talk to me. Maybe they want to talk to you. You know what I mean? You see? They want, and perhaps some of them say, I want to know whether the church care for me if I leave the church. Right? But there are others, of course, that love the church for whatever the reason that they have in the past that I know of. And then when they left the church, they don't tell me what they are living for. And sometimes they give all the excuses. And then they find out that they are against my doctrine. Some say, oh, I'm okay. I don't talk about it, but again, I'm okay. No, it's very hard. That's why I said one thing about it. If you don't open up to talk, open up to share, you will not be able to handle your problem by yourself. Some problems are not easy to handle by yourself. You need someone to pray with you, to talk with you, to get into a dialogue. Right? It's so very true, you know. Yes, that's why when I have ministered for overseas, that I know they are close with the brown eyes, or the fear, and all this other. And when we are together, we talk, I open up my heart to them to talk to them, and they can pray for me too. And they told me, and I can pray for them. And this is how you get healing. Because if you want to keep away from it unto yourself, it's very hard. Right? Okay, let's continue. Look at verse 3. He mentioned the names, and Paul said, whose names are in the book of life. Wow, how? If you ask me again, is my book in the name of life? Am I able to say, yes, your name is in the book of life? You see, Paul knew about these people. Their life is true to the word of God. You understand, don't you? Now, if I ask you, are you going to make the rapture? Maybe, you know, I hope so. When something is wrong with your revelation of who you are. Huh? And of course, there are some who have been in the gospel, like going to charismatic churches for 5, 10 years, 20 years, maybe after that, they say, nah, turn secular. I mean, many of them are truly secular. Sad. They spend their time worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ and then turn on to be, you know. It's just a religion. As I said this, I have this Bible. I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. Right? It is not a religion. To me, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a religion. It's a life. You get the understanding? It's my life. It's alive. I walk with Christ. I live with Him. You know what I mean? What I mean by alive? If, for example, like my son and my daughter and my son-in-law and what do you call this little grandson? If we all live together, we go out together, we enjoy life together. Is it a religion? I mean, it might be a religion because it's a belief of walking together as a family. But you know one thing? It's a life. A life that we live, a life that is born together. So, my relationship with Christ is not a religion. You might say this, it's okay if you just want to say it, because I really go back to Him, I'm bound back to Him. But He is my friend, my master, my Savior, my Lord, my everything. So it's my walk with Him. It's alive. It's a living thing. It's an activity. Well, you play football every day, and that's to you a religion. You also can say that. Right? But it's your life. Look at the singers. Look at all those singers, pop stars. It's their religion. If you want to use the word religion, but to me, I tell you one thing. A lot of people go to church, put in an application for religion, Christian. Or Christianity. Of course, that's why we feel in it. But the question is this something that is really alive to you? Something real? Or is it just, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, read the Bible, and that's it. It's got to be real to you. Until it is real to you, you will not have joy. It becomes a burden. That's why a lot of people say, oh, this is, come Sunday with the church. You know, you drag your feet to church. You know that? On Saturday night, they go into a fever. And the doctor comes and say, I mean, mother comes, or whoever comes, and says, well, are you okay? Yeah, I've got Sundayitis. Sundayitis. Why? Sunday, you know, I go to church. Hey, don't go to church then. If you have Sundayitis every Saturday night, you develop it, don't go to church then. Huh? But too many people who are working Sunday night, one day, they have a lot of work. Monday is a Monday blue. Monday blue. Yep. But when you come on Black Friday, it's a different story. Alright. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
This is a song we sing, right? Rejoice. Rejoice means what? Be happy. Be cheerful. But you know, I like the word rejoice, the word R-E-J-O-Y, without the I-C-E, re. Joy. So anytime you don't feel that you have a joy, rejoice. Bring back the joy again. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Can a Christian ever feel so low down that cannot rejoice? That is not when you are really in a problem, some issue, you're disappointed, you're downcast, or whatever. Go to a corner by yourself in the room and cry out unto the Lord until the Spirit of God visits you. I can tell you there's a whole lot of difference. I don't know how many times you have experienced. I experienced countless of times in my past. The weight, the frustration. There are times I told you before, I want to throw my hand in the air or throw in the towel, as you say in the boxing ring, throw in the towel and forget about all this ministry. You know, because of the pressure and the thing that comes against me. I just go down on my knees and pray and just pour out your feeling. You know, that's why I said God is always wanting to hear from you. He wants to hear from you, your emotion, your frustration. He wants you to cry out. What is the song we sing? Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. You see, you have to cry out. You know, I think that Adam, my grandson, being when he's down, out and out, he will cry too, right? You cry to mama or daddy. Or papa, you call him papa or daddy. And then you call him mama. You know, you see that children are like that. I remember in Zoe and Zao when young, it's the same thing. I remember Zoe's case about that. Over teeny thing. You know, frustrated because this over teeny thing, the over teeny, you know, over teeny, this double thing. On the TV, they have legs and hands, and she bought a packet, there was none there. You see, people get into a state where you're frustrated over something. And when you are expecting something, you don't get it, there's a lot of frustration. But people misunderstood you, you're frustrated. But I have learned over the many years, I may be frustrated. I may be down and out. Paul, how many times have you been put in prison? 5 times, huh? He mentioned 5 times, right? He was with 5 times, sorry. Huh? I don't know how the back of his body, I don't know how many scars are there. And how many times have you been in prison? I don't know. How many times have you been robbed on the highway as you walk? Huh? Beaten up badly by robbers? Oh, and yet there's it's joy because he's serving the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy, the word. The word of life. What else do you and we? What else do you and I need? The word. It's life, it's joy. A joy unspeakable and full of glory. What else is there that you and I need? Right. When I was a Christian at a young age, I started turning the Bible, I read the Bible, I studied. Then after that, I backslid for 2 days because of the flesh, the people of the world. I think with my mind, it affected me because, you know, something is being said when I was in the school by the teacher, so I turned and left the church for 2 years. And yet God called me back, using a sinner man who is not even a Christian. Wow! And that
40 Sunday when the Lord, we go to church, the Lord coming back with a message, prodigal son, come home. What a time, the right timing. The message was just for me on that day. Because the sinner friend wanted to go to church. He said, never entered any church, and he wanted to know what the church is like. I said, okay, let's go to Sunday. And we went to the examen together. Huh? And it was such that we were late. The song just finished. We knew I missed just the time. So the church was full, so we sit at the back, the last two rows. Hey, my goodness. And that hand, the preacher. Oh my. The preacher. Prodigal son, come home. Prodigal son, come home. He put his hand here and there, and I was in a trance. Boy. You know, when you're in a trance, everything fade away. And I'm just staring out there where the pulpit was, and I could see the hand. Prodigal son, come home. Whatever, he moved his hand. I could see him moving his hand, but I'm seeing this hand that come. Prodigal son, come home. Come home. Oh, I broke down and cried. For 2 hours. 2 hours, I didn't even know there was 2 hours past. That day I returned back to the Lord. He called me back home. He restored me unto the joy of His salvation. I have, you know, God has never forsaken me. I have never denied His name. And He called me back and restored me to the joy of His salvation. And from that time on, my mind was focused on the Bible. I put one Bible after another, the different version altogether. I have 17 different Bibles just to look into, just check. And I grew in the Word and I understand about this Word. And that's why it's just a joy. So now that I'm older now, I've been a Christian since, well, how many years? 73, now minus 11, how many years? 62 years now. 62 years now, and an old man with the Bible, and this, I know what it is, what this Word mean to me now. More and more. That's right. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Anytime you're down and out, just come back to the Lord. Hear my cry, O Lord. Give me back the joy of thy salvation. As I said, if you don't come back to this Word, the joy is not there. It is what they give you the joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord comes from the Word and give you wisdom. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You know what moderation is? Well, self-control and everything that is good, you know. Self-control. Goodness. Humility. A consideration of other people. Be zealous for God. For things of God. Consecration to the Word of God. Consecration to what God has given you in this life. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So God call you. Let other people know about your faith. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Why is it so? Let us go to the book of Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the thing of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So, don't get over anxious about tomorrow. You know, today is already a problem enough for us to deal with, things for us to deal with. Don't think about tomorrow. Because tomorrow never come, huh? It may never come. Now, Matthew 6:26.
Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barn, yet their heavenly Father feed them. Are you not much better than they? Right? Are you any better than them? That's very interesting. Behold the fowl of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, neither gather into barn, yet your heavenly Father care for them, feed them. Are you not better than them? Look at a sparrow, look at a bird that, well, what are they? They're not in the image of God, they're living things, yes. And you see them perching on the wire line, the telephone line. Maybe trying to listen to some conversation, some phone call. And you think that they just perch themselves on that wire and then do nothing? This is what Christ is telling you. Don't worry, stay at home. Huh? You don't have to get into but nothing. Food will drop from heaven. Pop! There you are. No, it doesn't mean that. Even the little thing, God cares for the little thing. And we know that the early bird catches the worm. Birds will know how to find food. God will know where to provide them food, and they know where to find it. Right? Now, if you got no job, you pray about it, look for it, and God will provide. But don't stay home, Lord, give me a job. You have to do a work, you have to apply for it, you got to look for it. Absalom, why early? Yes, early on he said, don't think about tomorrow, don't worry so much about it. Today you already got work to do to solve your problem. And God will surely provide. Back to Philippians. Romans 8:26. These are some of the side verses. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for when we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Yeah, when we have infirmity, we have a problem with our health, we have food, we have needs, we have need of that. Don't worry. When you don't know what to say, you know, you groan and the Lord will hear. Truly. Huh? If you don't groan, you don't pray, you're not going to get it. So, last verse is verse 7 of chapter 4 of Philippians. We close with that. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Watch about that. The peace of God and the word mind. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind. Your hearts and your mind, sorry. Peace, heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Keep. The word keep, I like the word. The word keep is keep your heart. Not just keep your heart, but the word, Greek word here, it's like a garrison. You know what a garrison is? A fort, yeah, fortified. So there was to say, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall fortify your heart and mind to Christ. You know how fortified it means? It's very, like a big fort. It means a wall guarded. Huh? The peace of God shall keep your heart and mind. Keep your heart, or heart and mind. Your heart and mind means whatever is going on in our feeling. In the Word of God, let us put it there. So, all that we know, let us run the race. With the Word that we have received from God, as Paul earlier on said, let us run the race. Keep on going.
pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. And I remember this Olympic. You know, this race that we are running, there's no such thing as first prize or second prize or third prize. Huh? There's only one prize. That's it. One prize. Whether you come in first or you come in last, there's only one prize. I know, in the Olympic, I remember watching the Olympic 1960 or 64. I don't know, the Tokyo Olympic. Was it 60 or 64? I don't know. And that time, of course, there was no TV, nothing. And what they had was that they film it, and then they show you in the theater. And I love it, so I paid to go and watch this. There's a big screen in the theater in the Olympic. Wow. And the only thing that impressed me in that Olympic was this marathon. You know the marathon, I don't know how many kilometers they were, I mean, what their time they're running, miles, I don't know. I don't know how long the race was. But you know, they show the takeoff, the hundreds and hundreds of competitors. They ran, of course, there's a famous one, is the, I think it's the Ethiopian or the Kenyan. Lengthy fella, he came into the stadium, well ahead of everybody. And then he braced the tape. Everybody in the stadium was daylight. I mean, it was afternoon time. Everybody cheered. And came in the second, the third. And people could come in. The sun was setting. The sun was setting. And they are still waiting. Most of the competitors, I mean, most of the, what do you call that, the audience have already gone home. They already moved out of the stadium because there was nothing else in the stadium. And the light was being switched off because the sun is setting. But there are these people, spectators, waiting for one person to come in. And they're all moving to where the tip is, the line is. And the camera went and took the followed this last competitor. His leg was in a mess. And he was struggling. All the way. The sun already set. The light in the stadium already gone up. How many hours has he been running? He don't want to give it up. And then he came into the stadium, staggering. And every of those spectators stood up just to cheer him. He wanted to finish the race. No matter how terrible the race was for him. Whatever happened that found him in that condition, I can't remember. But he was dragging his feet. Whether he pulled a muscle, pulled a hamstring, or whatever, I have no idea, I can't remember. My watching audience, oh my goodness. Most people will give it up, and most people have given it up. And he just go on. He doesn't, nobody knows. I mean, I don't believe that he knew that there were people in the stadium waiting for him. He just went to go to the stadium and cross the finishing line. Woo! Wow, I tell you, that was, of all that Olympic thing that I remember is this marathon. And this man struggling to come in. And when he braced past the line, he collapsed onto the side. Trying to catch his breath. And the pain that he endured. The pain he endured. Think about it. And he got a prize. What was it? Not the first prize, not a medal, nothing. All the most of the spectator has gone on to him. He don't care whether anybody is in the stadium. To him, he want to finish the race. Let us finish the race. Christ has given an example. Paul has given us an example. And all the apostles and saints of old have given us an example. Because for the joy that awaits them, right? For the blessed hope, the joy that is in Christ, everything is there. That's the reason why he ran that race. To finish it, because it was in his joy. That I am a marathon and I want to finish it. Just for that. And the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. for the joy that is set before him, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, endured the cross. Yes, Father. The joy he had, not for himself, but the joy he had was that there are seats. People like us, Father. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. We are his joy. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you for the joy that you had for us. Just like Paul, he said to the saints of Philippi, you are my joy, you are my crown, and we are the joy and the crown of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us all, Father, be worthy to be the crown of our Lord and our Savior. There will always be his joy, Lord. That our life is worthy of the gospel of that which endured the cross all the way. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And help us to be like our Lord Jesus. To run the race well. And whatever we have in this life, Father, that we carried our cross through, Lord. Endure it. And finish the race. And there awaits a crown of life. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for thy word. And bless, O Lord, the rest of the day now. Let us walk every day with you, Father. With your word. Bless all now, Father, out there too. We commit all things in Jesus' name. Amen.